All right, Tabosei, good morning. Let's begin. So we left off in still in Perek Yotes in the red edition. We are now up to page Kuf Pei Beis. So remember again, in the Midah of Chasidus, in his attribute of Chasidus, we were speaking about the concept of Chasidus ultimately meaning I recognize what it is that is important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the Midos, what the attributes, what the actions are that he values, and I go ahead and I build on those. So in that same vein, the Ramchal picks up, he says, Od Sham, Sha'alu Tamidav es Rabbi Peredo. The students of Rabbi Peredo asked him, Rabbi, b'meha arach liyamin, how have you merited longevity? Amr lahem, miyomai, lo kidamani adam lebeis hamedrash. Rabbi Peredo answered, in all of my days, no one ever beat me to the beis medrash. Okay, fellow berachti lifnei kohen, and I never went ahead and led the benching when there was a kohen who was present. Fellow achalti mi behema shlo hormu matnoseha, and I never eat from an animal whose tithes have not been separated out. And I will say now, the chafen, all three of these things is what? None of these things are obligatory. Meaning that technically speaking, does a person have to be the first one in the base medrash? No. The truth is, as long as you're making it, that's pretty good by itself. Or even if people want to say they're part, they're one of the first 10, fine. But an obligation to be the first one? No. But what does being the first one represent? It represents his rizus. Okay? Lo birachti lifnei kohen, I never led the benching in front of a kohen. I will say, again, is one obligated to always yield to a kohen? So the truth is, again, so the Gemara discusses that a tam tchochem is permitted to lead birkas amazon, even in the presence of a kohen. But there's a din of a kiddush of sanctifying the kohen, and one of the ways in which we sanctify the kohen is that psach lo rishon, we allow him to do things, we allow him to lead the benching, we give him the first portion. So again, is this not obligatory to allow the kohen to always bench? Rabbi Peredo is saying, this is what I wanted to do. Technically speaking, you are permitted to eat from an animal even before the kohanic portions have been separated. But what he's saying is, I was careful never to do that. So again, the common denominator of all of these things is this going above and beyond what is obligatory in an effort to go ahead and satisfy the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Amru Od, another example. Shalu Tamidim es Rabbi Nechunya, b'meha arachti yamim, Rabbi. So again, the Tamidim of Rabbi Nechunya ask him, Rabbi, how did you merit such longevity? Amr Lohem, so he said to them, Mi yomai lo niskabarati b'kolon chaveirai. I never literally honored myself through the degradation of my friends. We'll explain what that means in just a moment. I never allowed myself to be uplifted through some or exalted through someone else being put down. And nor did I ever allow the curse of my friend to come up on my bed. If you look at footnote 36, he says, "Lo alsa almitasi kilas chaveri kilomar, lo alisi almitasi kishiyish belibi hakpada al adam." What it literally means is, I never went to sleep angry. I never went to sleep angry at someone. Ki hayenoheg limchol lachomi shetsiaro lifnei alasa amishkavo. He always went ahead and forgave everyone before he went to bed. So we'll say, first of all, besides the fact that I'm sure it is a recipe for a more sound night's sleep, but again, what he's saying is, I never went to sleep with any anger in my heart. So we'll say, by the way, this is where the concept, we have this in Kriyas Shema Alamita, right? Hareini Mocha. We say Hareini Mocha before we go to sleep every single night, based on Rabbi Nechunya forgiving everyone. Now, I will say, now remember, so same thing over here. Let's analyze these things. So, Rabbi Nechunya, why did you merit such longevity? I never honored myself through the degradation of my friend, and I never went to sleep angry. I forgave everyone before I went to sleep. Umefarish Hasam, and the Gemara explains there. He says, "Ki ha derafuda." What does it mean that he never, Rabbi Nechunya, never honored himself through the degradation of his friend? So he gives an example like Rav Huna. What happened in Rav Huna? Rav Huna dari mari akasve, mara akasve. To which, so if you look at footnote 38, he says over here that Rav Huna went ahead. He said that Rav Huna went ahead and was carrying a spade, a shovel on his shoulder. Asa Rav Acha bar Chaniloi bekadari mine. Listen to this. Rav Chana bar Chanilai came and wanted to take the shovel from him. Right? So meaning, it wasn't Bakavadik that Rav Huna should carry a shovel on his shoulder. It's not nice. So Rav Chana bar Chanilai came along and wanted to take the shovel from Rav Huna. Amar Leis, listen to this. So Rav Huna said to Rav Chana bar Chanilai, I ragilas didaris b'masach direi. So he said to him, if you normally carry a shovel in your city, then fine, you could carry it. V'ilo, but if you don't normally do this, esyakure ana bezilusa didach lo nichale. I have no interest in having my honor preserved through your degradation. Now, what's amazing about this is the following. You see, when we first met Rabbi Nechunya's statement, that I never uplifted myself through the degradation of another. So the automatic assumption is that this, you know, let's say there are two ways in life that you can build yourself up. What are the two ways in life you can build yourself up? So number one, you could actually work on yourself. Or number two, the easier way, which is unfortunately the way many people choose, is you put someone else down. Right? And it's just like, again, you know, you could, you know, the mashal, ma'adam and imshal is, you know, a person could, if I want to stand higher, I could stand on a chair. Or I could dig out the earth around me so that everyone else is lower. Just two ways. You could lift yourself up, you could put others down. What the Gemara is saying over here is, that's not even what, obviously Rabbi Nechunya is not putting anyone down. This is even more than that. What he's saying over here is, here you have this example, ultimately, again, of two Rabbonim, Rav Huna and Rav Chana bar Chanilai, and you have, again, Rav Huna carrying the shovel, Rav Chana bar Chanilai wanting to help out and offering to carry the shovel, and Rav Huna saying to him, listen, I'm not going to have my covered and my honor preserved at your expense. If you normally carry a shovel, carry your own shovel at home in your home city, fine, then you can carry my shovel. But if you never carry my shovel, then it's very nice, you want to preserve my dignity, but I'm not going to allow the preservation of my dignity at a cost to you. So he goes on, Hari lanu, sha'afapi, shema shmaos biklon chaveiro, hu hamishtada levazos chaveiro. So what happens? So even though now, this lashon of klon chaveiro, of degradation of my friend, so that sounds like someone ultimately, again, who is disparaging his fellow, that through this he will amplify his own kavod. For the truly pious, they don't want kavod. Even if my friend wants to give it to me, it's not that the chassid is averse to kavod. Meaning, again, if the chassid deserves the kavod, he should get the kavod. The idea is he never wants his kavod to chas v'shalom come at the expense of someone else. So if my kavod comes and someone else suffers the degradation, so again, I want to be clear. See, here's a very interesting example. Let's analyze this for a moment. So can you imagine, let's go back to this scene for just a second. So Rav Huna is carrying his shovel. Rav Chana bar Chanilai says, please let me carry that for you. According to the technical letter of the law, is there anything wrong happening over here? No. Rav Huna is the greater Talmud Chacham. Rav Chana bar Chanilai is offering, right? Rav Huna is not demanding it. So no, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Rav Huna handing off the shovel. But again, remember, what's the midah of chassidus? The midah of chassidus is going above and beyond that which is obligatory or expected, and ultimately doing what one realizes is in the spirit of the law, in the spirit of Avodas Hashem. So in that sense, over here, Rav Huna understands it's not right for my kavod to be preserved at the expense of someone else's, and therefore, again, he wants no part of it. Even Rabbah say, one could make the cogent argument that there is no greater kavod than serving a Talmud Chacham. See, here you have over here, I mean, besides serving, the only thing above that is serving the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. So the idea over here is that even though Rav Chana bar Chanilai would not be suffering a degradation to his kavod, fakir, just the opposite, it's an uplifting to his kavod, still, Rav Huna doesn't want this. Let's just do a little bit more. He goes on, he says, "Ukeinyan ze am Rabbi Zera," and along these same lines, Rabbi Zera said the following, "V'yomai lo hikparati b'soch beisi." In all of my days, literally, "hikparati b'soch beisi," I never got angry in my house. Right, so we'll say, what a maila, right? What an incredible level to reach. I never got angry in my house. And I never went ahead and walked in front of someone who was greater than me. I never thought about Torah in unclean places. And I never walked 4 amos without Torah and without tefillin. I never fell asleep in the Beis Medrash, which Rabbi Osai is big stuff, right? I never fell asleep in the Beis Medrash. Lo shnas keva v'lo shnas arai, right? Never just a little snooze, like a little nap, and never like a serious sleep. V'lo sasti b'takolas chaveri, I never rejoiced in the downfall of my friend. V'lo karasi lechaveri b'chanichoso, and again, Rabbi Osai, we had this earlier. I never went ahead and called my friend by a nickname. Now, Rabbi Osai, I just want to point out, on all of these, we see the incredible midos in all of these. I never got angry within my house. I never walked in front of someone who was greater than me. I never walked out on without Torah and Tefillin. I never slept in the Beis Medrash. I never rejoiced over my friend's downfall. I never called him by a nickname. There's one of them that seems to be a little bit poshut. I never went ahead and thought about Torah in unclean places. So you think to yourselves, hey, I can do that one, right? Okay, we'll say that's because sometimes it's not such a struggle. Sometimes, for many of us, it's not a struggle not to think about Torah. Right? The idea over here is that, who was this again? This is Rabbi Zeira. For Rabbi Zeira, who is constantly preoccupied with Torah, it was painful not to think about Torah. So the idea over here is, he's saying, I had to actively put Torah out of my mind in order to properly preserve the Kiddush of Torah. So we'll say, so again, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem here with this Gemara. With this piece of the Ramchal tomorrow. But again, let me just end by saying the following. All of these are, if you look at all the things that Rabbi Zeira describes as his greatest accomplishments, none of them are what you would call obligatory, right? None of them are demands that are placed upon us. You see what Rabbi Zeira is saying is that sometimes the secret in life is not just fulfilling your obligations. We'll say fulfilling your obligations is an expectation. Of course, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us so much. He asks for relatively little in return, namely for us to keep his mitzvos. Of course, we're going to do. That's not chasidos. That's just simple gratitude. That's basic hakaras hatov. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives me everything in life. He asks for a little bit back. Of course, I'm going to give him that back. The meat of chassidus is where a person goes even further. Person pushes themselves even more. Person tries to understand what it is the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here Rabbi Zeira is saying, I understand the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me a family. Give me a family. So how am I going to show my gratitude toward that, for that family? I'm not going to get angry in my house. I'm going to control my temper. And even when there are occasions to get upset, I'm going to express my anger in a non-angry way. I'm going to express my displeasure in a way, ultimately, again, that doesn't bring down those around me. I'm going to make sure that my covet doesn't come at the expense of others. I'm going to make sure that, ultimately, I lead a spiritual life. I'm going to recognize that if I have the schus to come to shul, I have the schus to come to the Beis Medrash, I'm not going to squander those opportunities by simply going ahead and sleeping through it. Yes, sometimes I'm jealous over the fact that other people accomplish more than me. Sometimes, ultimately, I feel a little bit down because things seem to come to others easier than they come to me, but I'm going to rise above that pettiness, and I'm going to learn, ultimately, to be happy for my friend's accomplishment, and I'm going to learn to put the kolchos into accomplishing even more. All of this, says Ramchal, Harei lecha ma'ase chasidos mikol adrachim shezachar lamali. You look at all these things, Rabbi Osai, and you see that often what makes great people great is not their adherence to the basic obligations. We all have an obligation to adhere to the obligations. What makes the truly great people great is their ability not just simply to be good, but ultimately to find a way to become chassidim. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up at the bottom of Kuf Pei Gimel Amir Tashem tomorrow.